Continue discussing Kriyas HaTorah. I have a different sefer. I didn't finish the other sefer. There's still more to discuss from that sefer. But right now, let's just for some variety. Let me jump to a different sefer. This is a very good sefer. Oitzah Machmad. This is volume 4. This is a real hit. Real fantastic sefer. Oitzah Machmad. It's a collection of Minhagim and interesting ideas. Like the last time, a lot of things that we learn here, these are not lahalacha. I mean, it's brought down l'halacha, but no one does it. Obviously, it's not accepted as common as mainstream halacha. So it's interesting, at least to know, to be aware of these things. It's more entertainment than it is practical, but it's still Torah. These are things which are sourced in very good places. First thing is, how often should a person get an aliyah? If you have an option, some people have they don't have a choice. It's not up to them. They come to shul and they're at the mercy of the gabbai. But there are situations where a person has the ability to get an aliyah. If you want to pay money, you want to buy an aliyah, live in a community where you buy an aliyah, so you can buy an aliyah as often as you want. How often should a person, if he can, get an aliyah? Should he get an aliyah every Shabbos? Get an aliyah once a year, once in 6 months? So it's brought down in many sources that a person should strive to get an aliyah once a month. Once a month. A very important halacha. And it really comes from what we say in the Gemara by Kiddush Levana. Ilmolei leizachu p'nei Yisrael elahakbo p'nei avim shebashamayim pam achash b'chodesh dayam. Yimakabel Hashem. Once a month. Now the Levana, that we darshan that in reference to the Levana, but it doesn't say the Levana in the pasuk. It doesn't say the Chazal, doesn't say the Levana. We refer to the Levana because the Levana is the Knege, the Shechina, the renewal. But certainly, even more so, when you come to a Sefer Torah, the Kedusha that lies in a Sefer Torah, when you make a bracha on the Sefer Torah and you bring out the aura of the Torah, the aura of the Shechina that lies in the Sefer Torah, Yizaycha to be Mekabel Panalim Shabbashmayim Hamachas Bechodesh, and therefore a person should indeed strive the best that he can to get an aliyah once a month. Now, which day of the month is the best day to get an aliyah? Rosh Chodesh. That is the best day to get an aliyah. Which day, Rosh Chodesh? If there are 2 days, the second day, Rosh Chodesh, because that's the day. What's more chashuv? We discussed last time, the third or the fourth aliyah. That's not what we discussed last time. Machlokes HaPoskim, some say the third of Moshe felt the third is more chashuv. Ein ma'avidin al ha-mitzvahs. That's the first aliyah that comes to Yisrael. And also Chazal always talk about Shlishi is Shlishi. A Kain Yisrael gets the Ikar aliyah for Yisrael. Revi is just padding. Others say, no, Pumfaket, the Hoysafa is more chashuv. And especially since in that aliyah you make mention of the Nyan Shel Yoim, or Rosh Chodesh, so some say the fourth aliyah is more chashuv. Okay, next. Who else has a chiv to get an aliyah? Okay, just running through some things. Of course, a person who benches goymel. They don't always allow you to get an aliyah. You dive in a very busy place. I remember in Chaim Berlin, so it's Chaim, a boys that come back from Eretz Yisrael, they go, so on Yom Tif, so you have a whole long line. After you have 10 people, they make a bracha, Shagmalani l'chayavim tova, Shagmalani l'chayavim tova, Kol tov, whatever the bracha is, so they don't give an aliyah. But Mikra Adin, a person who is in the sakana, especially one of the four things, Rachasam Sefer writes, Shamuchuyu b'karben toida ya'ale la toira. Why? Because getting an aliyah is on the same level as bringing a korban. I have a very big nafkamina when it comes to Yoledes, come to that a little bit later on. Getting an aliyah is like a korban, and therefore, that is why the person that benches goymel, in addition to birchas ha-goymel, should also get an aliyah if he could. And for that reason, the yoledes, a woman who gives birth, she has to bench goymel for the sakon of childbirth. So her husband brings on her behalf a karban. Who's paying for the karban? The husband. Therefore, the husband should get an aliyah when she comes to shul. That we'll discuss in much more detail a little bit later on. But there's also an inyan of getting an aliyah. Whenever there is an inyan of giving birchas goymel, there is an inyan of getting an aliyah. Okay, next.
Sometimes women just do it for kedusha, even when they don't lay. They come for mincha for kedusha, yeah. When they don't lay.
I have a whole section on that. That's a whole topic in of itself. Okay, next. Now, this, I always tell you this, and I finally have a source for this. This is a very interesting thing. Okay, I'm going to read you the word for word, because I could tell it to you 100 times. I told it to you many times, but here we have it with words. V'hinei, me'inyin zeh, the amrinan shaliyah l'toyra, anytime a person gets an aliyah, havi kakbolas p'nei avinu shabashamayim, you being makabel l'shchina, yesh l'tzayin, nami l'mash, shenimsa koso b'sefer ha'kadmoyim, here is the name, I finally found this, finally by luck I found this, avoidas hatomit. Okay, so that's the key words. It's a sefer kadmoyim called avoidas hatomit. It was printed in Mishnas, Tof Kuf Nun Dalit. What year is that? So that's over 200 years ago. Okay, 200 and 20 years, 30?
17.
Tof Kuf.
1770 something.
Tof Kuf Nun Dalit. Over 200 years ago, in the Sefer Oilas HaTalmud, it says as follows. This very Nogeya Halacha Lemaisa. She'im Echad Nischabed Ba'aliyah Lefi Tumay. Come to Shul for Mincha. You're sitting in the back. You, Shlishi, what's your name? And they give you an aliyah. You come Monday, Thursday, you're out of town, you pop in, you're getting an aliyah. No yard sites, just out of the blue. For Monday, if I say yard site, I have yard site, I get an aliyah this parasha. Okay, you're a shiva, you get every you know, you get an aliyah, every Shlishi, you're a rav, whatever it is. Out of the blue, lefit tumo. Well, you know what's even the best? I find this to be the real sign of Meshmaim is when there's no kohen. Let's say you're Yisrael. There's no kohen. There's no kohen. You're getting the first, and they give you the first aliyah. What are the chances of me getting the first aliyah in, or anyone, or Yisrael getting the first aliyah in a regular parasha, a regular sedra? Never, because that's the kohen's aliyah.
Right.
It's bizarre. It's strange. There's no kohen, or there's no kohen. So you end up getting you the first, the second aliyah in the short, or whatever the situation is. Wow. So what does that mean? So it says im nischabed the aliyah lefi tumay. Yosum liboy, a person should pay attention to psukim shekoyre shebo in those psukim merumas devarim hashayachim lo beosid vehu kineged nevua. It's unbelievable. It's really spooky. It really is. Hashem is speaking to you better than the girl hagra, better than going to rebbes, better than dreams. All of these things pale in comparison to Hashem is speaking to you when you get an aliyah lefi tumay.
They say
what?
They say a gaba has a shtickle of ruach hakodesh.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Parents also.
I heard that.
The zel l'shoyne sham af al gav nirai. He's quoting his words. Af al gav the ato ein lonu loy navi v'loy chayze. He wrote this 200 years ago. Loy navi v'loy chayze v'loy urim v'tumim mikol makaim. Al pi haroiv yesh beremez kriyas hasefer Torah shoyresh godol ledas kol adam beinyanov, a great root of knowledge for every person in his matters, his personal matters, lefi akriya shemagidin min hashamayim the haynu kishekiru bitmimus leiv, when they read it to him bitmimus leiv without any calculations. Now, okay, what is the nogea of this person? So you're
saying when one gets an aliyah under highly unusual circumstances.
Not necessarily unusual.
Because you
it's
said
just,
how likely it is.
Right, or love daf, let's say just stop. You're in shul, you're a member of the shul, they give you an aliyah every once in a while.
Yes.
But it doesn't have to be this.
That's normal.
It's just, no, but you're not in a rotation. It's just like.
But Rishon.
Okay, that's even more spooky. There's a message. You look at the psukim, you look at the Rashi, there's definitely something in the psukim and in the Rashis that were read to you, a message that will resonate with you. There's something that's bothering you. Every person has things on their mind. Mm. Every person has decisions that are looming. You have to make decisions. Every person has regrets. And you need to be able to deal with these circumstances. You get an aliyah, Hashem is speaking to you, he's trying to give you some guidance, and it's there, it's there. Okay. Oh, I don't want to tell you what to say, I forgot something. I don't know what I wanted to say. Okay, next. Next topic. Okay, next thing is, there's a hakpada that you should be called up by your name. It seems that some places had a minug where they don't call you up by name, they point to you. Okay, you take the aliyah. I've heard about this. They don't call a person by their name. That is dead wrong. There's a hakpada that when you get an aliyah, ya'amoid, and you say the person's name, Ben, his father, it should be said clear, pronounced, not mumbled. It's very, very frustrating. When you have a gaboyim, What do you say? Or they say the name dead wrong, right? Yemod, and like, that's not my name. Like, I'm not going to even fight with you because you're not interested. No one's interested. I've seen this all the time, and it's really, really not right. There is a very important inyan of the name represents a person, the neshama. You're connecting him to the Torah, and at least he deserves that much honor or that much effort. Now, what about titles? He doesn't discuss titles. That indeed is not. That indeed is a topic of discussion. You call a person by titles. Ya'moid, Moireinu, Harav, Harav. You call up by titles. So that is indeed a topic of discussion. Some do, some don't. There are places in the Musa Yeshivas, they did not call it by titles. They call the person by their name. Zehu. No Rav, no Moireinu, no nothing. But that's not common among us. Among us, we give everyone a title. At Kedekach, you call everyone. I was once a gabbai, and I didn't call people by title. I just called up. I was very little. I wasn't little. I didn't know anything then, and I just called him by name. And the Ravs, I called him Harav. If a person would tell me their father was a Rav, I call him. So this person, he told me, no, you're making a mistake. You have to call everyone Reb. The default is Yamod Reb. So and so, you just can't call a person by his name. You have to give him at least, if he's a Talmud Chacham, then you call him up Haraf, whatever it is. But everyone does at least some title. Some do, some don't. Okay, next. Next topic is which is the most Choshiva Aliyah to get? Okay, so this is a machlekes. What do the elites represent? So two mahalachim, what they represent. There's the Zoyar's mahalach, and there's the mahalach of the Gemara. Now from the Zoyar, it's mashma that we follow a sage of the Ushpizim, which means Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov,
Moshe. That particular seder.
There are different siddurim. So the common what is the common seder? The common seder is Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron,
Yosef,
and David. So what is Shishi? Shishi is Yosef. Who from this collection is called a tzaddik? Only when we call that the Chazal Yosef. Yosef a tzaddik. You don't find Avraham being called a tzaddik. I don't know why. You don't find Yitzchak. You don't find Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron. You don't find them called tzaddikim. Yosef is called Yosef HaTzadik. Why is he called HaTzadik? So different reasons. Number one is because he was Oymed Ben Yisrael. Anyone that is Oymed in Nisayon is called the Tzadik. The one from this group of seven that was Oymed in Nisayon of Isha was Yosef. David was Nichshol to some degree with Bathsheba, Uriah.
Yeah.
Kol HaOymer David Chote Ein Elatoya. Ein Elatoya. But what HaMelech. He's called David HaMelech. But why is he also called a Tzadik? Okay, whatever. Everyone has their own. Yosef is called a tzaddik, and therefore the Zohar says that when you get an aliyah, he writes here, "Man de solik l'sefer Torah." This is a translation, "Lemikri Raisa, it's tzrich tzaddik, the tzaddik ikri." He needs to be a tzaddik, and he's called a tzaddik. So therefore, from the six people that are getting an aliyah, the one that can identify most of the tzaddik is Yosef. He's number six, and therefore number six becomes the most choshuva aliyah.
Do you see the Rebbe?
All Hasidic Rebbe's get Shishi. In the Hasidim, Shishi is the most, because the Hasidim, they work b'derech klal with Kabbalah. They work with the Zohar. And therefore, Shishi is the most chashuv.
What?
What do they do? They get Shlishi?
V.
What's Shar V?
That was the Rebbe's aliyah.
The Gra got Shishi. The Gra, why did the Gra get Shishi? So there's a debate. So they claim the Gra didn't want Shlishi Anivas. He did not want the Gra did not want to be considered to be the most chashuv. He was anivus. He did not want. He was not the Rav. The Gra was just a private citizen. The Gra wasn't the Rashiva. The Gra wasn't the Rashiva. He was a private citizen, and therefore the Gra he wanted as anivus. He didn't want shlishi. They gave him shishi. Not because the Gra was a Rebbe. That's what he brings in even the footnotes. I saw that in a few places. But the Gra indeed did get shishi. That is now. What about it? What does it say in the Gemara? Now the Gemara. Wait, now let's take a step back. What's the second most chashuv aliyah? After Shishi, what comes next? So he writes over here. After Shishi, Shlishi is next. Doesn't say. After Shlishi comes. After Shlishi,
the non Zohar. Number one is Shlishi, right? For us regular.
Right, right. So even according to the Kabbalah, the Zohar, Shlishi is next. And he writes here, the Hashvi'i. This is what he writes over here. Who is he saying this from? The Chidah. Chidah is a mukubal. B'machzik bracha shadik divrei merav chayim vital. A big mukubal, but tzara. And he writes something very shocking. Madregas hashiva. He goes, shishi is gadol, shlishi is next. The hashvi gorua mikulam. He writes, actually, that's the worst.
What?
Getting shvi is an insult.
It's an insult.
Not insult. Chas v'shom is an insult. It's from the Madregas of the seven.
One.
He writes Gorua mikulam. You give shvi to the least most chashif. That's very, very shocking for many reasons that I'm going to show you. Because according to some, that somehow that's what glila is. Hagoyel noitel schar keneged kulam. According to some, Rabbeinu Chananel, it means the one that gets shvi, the one that gets the last aliyah. He's the one that's messiah the parsha. He gets schar keneged kulam. Pumfaker, it's the most choshiva aliyah to get shvi.
Okay. More than shishi.
More than shishi, according to Rabbeinu Chananel. We'll come to that a little bit later on. According to Rabbeinu Chananel, hagoyel legars hagoyel loy noitel schar keneged kulam. The one that's goyel the sefer Torah gets schar. What does it mean goyel? Doesn't mean the one that does Hagba Galila, the one that is closes the Sefer Torah as meaning concluding the reading. When you read, you open, you close. The one that closes it for the very last time, he gets Schar Kneged, all of the seven. The one that gets Shvi, he's the one that is Goyalila. So we see over here Machlaikis already between the Zoyar and Rabbeinu Chananel, who is a Rishon, who says that the most Choshvalia is Shvi. Now, what do we do, Ashkenazim? Ashkenazim, it says the Gemara, it's Ferish Gemara, Shulchan Aruch, Ferish Hashem Mechaber. Hanu'ula Shebukula Waliya Shlishi. Why? Then comes Revi, is the second most Chashiv. Then Chamishi Shishi. And what's the Lamed? The Gemara Mesech the Gittin. The Gemara says, you have the first, you give Koyein Levi Yisrael. Shlishi is the Yisrael, that's the most Chashiv. Acharehen, after Shlishi, which means Revi, Koyein Talmidei Chachomim Hamamunim Parnosim Al Hatzibur. If you're getting Revi, what it means is, you are a Talmud Chacham who has authority. Talmidei Chachamim, Hamemunim, who are appointed as Parnosim, supporters, leaders, Ala Tzibur. Then, that's Shlishi. Shlishi goes to a Talmud Chacham who is Memune of Parhanes Ala Tzibur. Then comes Revi. What's Revi? Talmidei Chachamim Hori'uyin. Limnoisam parnosim alat sibar. They just didn't get a job yet. Okay?
They're unemployed.
Okay, there's unemployment. They're unemployed. But they're qualified candidates. They have a very good resume. Their resume is just as good as the sitting parnes alat sibar. So you're getting revi means you're on deck. You're qualified. Acharehen chamishi. Bnei, the children of Talmidei Chacham Hamamunim Parnosim Alat Tzibur. Isn't that amazing? You give kavod, nepotism. That's exactly what it says here. It says here
in
Farish.
Also,
not nepotism. They're not ruin because they're not going to get the job. It's very interesting. You give the children you have. It's very fascinating that in the Seder Halias of the Torah, in the Beis HaKnesses, you automatically give kavod to the children of the Talmidei Chachamim. You don't say it's not fair. Why is he better than me? I'm a big Talmud Chacham. Just because he's the rabbi's son, he gets covered. Yep, that's the halacha. That's the way it goes. What's the lumnus? Whatever the lumnus is, that's the way it is. Look at America. You see how fascinated the American people are with the first family, with the wife, the children, this child and that child. You wouldn't even know that these people existed if not for the fact that these people were the president of the United States. So all of a sudden, they're elevated to an entirely new madrega. It means something, obviously. Now, we're up to Shishi Yachareyem. Who comes Shishi? Roshei Kinesios. The people who are the heads of assemblies. So Shishi, Chamishi went to the children of the Talmidei Chachamim, and then come to the Roshei Kinesios. These are not the Parnosim. I don't know the difference. What's the difference?
President.
The president? The Roshei, the heads of the... They're not Mimunim Parnosim. Parnosim means that somehow there's more authority. They're just the Roshei Kinesios. I don't know what that means. V'chol Adam. V'chol Nifsak L'Aloch. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. And
he
therefore,
Gabe Parnos.
What? But they're not. We already gave the Parnosim.
That's how we used to call
the Parnosim. The Parnosim. But that we already said that was number three. Three was the and four were the Talmidei Chachamim Hamimunim Parnosim Alat Sibar. Here they're not. Here we're giving Shishi to the Roshei Kinesios, the Chol Adam.
Like so the president.
Yeah, whatever that means. So the president
have to
is
be
not
both.
Not the president of the United States.
Oh. So for Shri, and Revi, you had to be a Talmud Chacham also. It was not enough just to be a Parnas. You had to be a Talmud Chacham. You have to be a Rosh Knesios. Okay, so these are the seven Aliyahs. So it goes in that order. So obviously, the closer, according to what it says in Shulchan Aruch, the closer you are to the beginning is the more chashuv. That's really what it means. Shlishi is coming talmidecham parnasim, you roy. Then comes to the children, and then comes to the Rosh Knesios, and then comes to your average anyone else. So we go in that order. Okay, brings in here the Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam, it was his custom to get Shlishi every single Shabbos. And obviously he held it was the most chashuv. Leander points out that a person who gets an aliyah every single Shabbos gets an aliyah even when he is in avelos. If a person is accustomed to get an aliyah, so then if he does not get an aliyah on that Shabbos, it's avelos bifar hesya if he does not get his aliyah. It's a famous story where Rabbeinu Tam was in shul, and the gabbai said, oh, he's in avelos, we're not giving him an aliyah the Shabbos. The gabbai knows you do not give an aliyah to an avel. So Rabbeinu Tam, he walked up on his own. He did not call in, and on his own he walked up to the Amud and he said, since I get an aliyah every single Shabbos, if you're not going to give me an aliyah, it's going to be avelos bifar hesya. Okay, the Baal Shem Tov, they have a record, we have a legend, I don't know if we have any records, and it's about all of the Magidim. The Baal Shem Tov, the Magid, Mizrich the Magid, the Tzemach Tzedek, they minig was to get maftir. Not the regular aliyahs, that's very interesting, not Shavi'i, a whole new mahalach, what's the lomnus? He does not exactly say why they got the dafka. Get maftir. He brings here down another ma'isa, very interesting ma'isa, from the Rosh. The Rosh, his meaning was to get chamishi. Why chamishi? I don't know what this means here. He says because no one else wanted it. Why? Because...
a lot of times like that.
Because chamishi does not have a zug. She'ein loy ben zug. What does it mean does not have ben zug? I guess because the first Elias are Revihi and I don't know what it means. Chamishi she'ein loy ben zug.
Well, it doesn't mean
it's in the middle between the seven Elias. No, it's not
in the alphabet. The single digits 5 doesn't have a partner, just like nun doesn't have a partner in the 2-digit numbers.
What are the partners for the other numbers? What's one's partner?
One and nine?
1 and 9.
8.
Atbash.
3 and 7. 4
That's
and
what it
6.
Means? And when there are 7 aliyahs, we apply that principle as well?
I don't know
what I'm saying.
There's the idea that...
well, the Shud Tashbates...
There's a whole lot of stuff about the Nun being
the middle letter.
Muvikein
al harosh atzmai amar hamagia shamatik yerosh zal hoi minhagil alas chamishi b'chol Shabbos ki lo hoi roitzim la'alois chamishi she'en lo ben zug. He took that aliyah. Okay, next topic, next inyan is... let's go to another topic, another quick topic. When you get an aliyah, we discussed yesterday, but let's discuss this in a little more detail just for a few minutes. When you get an aliyah, should you read along with the Baal Kriya? Should you read along with the Baal Kriya? So there are different minhagim. From the Zohar, it's not clear exactly what the Zohar means. Controversy, but basically from the simple understanding of the Zohar, there is a hakpada to be silent. Your bedafka not allowed when you get an aliyah, you make the bracha, baruch hu Hashem, you make the bracha, and then the Baal Kriya begins to read. According to the Zohar, the one who gets the aliyah must remain perfectly silent. Why? Because it represents reenactment of Matan Torah, and in Matan Torah, the people were silent. Hashem spoke. The Baal Kriya is, in this interpretation, the Mekom the Ribbono Shel Olam, and the one that gets the Aliyah is Klal Yisrael, represents Klal Yisrael, and Klal Yisrael were silent when Hashem gave them the Zif. You must be silent. To the other extreme, the Rosh says, if you don't read along with the Baal Kriya, it's a bracha levatala. You're making a bracha, and you don't say anything? You're just listening? Oh, that's the answer we give, but he's saying, the Rosh says that's not a good enough answer. When you can do it yourself to go listen to the Baal Kriya, that's not a good enough answer. It's a mamish, a bracha levatola. How loud should you read? So there's a machlokes, there are more different opinions, not exactly clear. Either you should even lay loud enough that you can hear your own ears. Nashmiel also, of course, don't do loud enough when you're going to listen to the Baal Kriya, but you have to read along loud enough that some say no, you should say along, but you can say along quietly where even if you cannot hear, it's not audible. To your own ears. Some want to say that when the Zohar says you should be silent, that's really what the Zohar means. The Zohar also agrees you should read along. It just means you should read along quietly. You should not be able to hear it yourself. Some say no. The Zohar means silence mamish. Halacha lemaisa, minig Ashkenaz, the Mishnah Brura, is that you should, our minhag, we're not chassidim from the Zohar crowd, then you're going to be quiet. But the minig Ashkenaz, the Mishnah Brura, is you should read along with the Baal Kriya quietly. Quietly means definitely should not be loud enough that the Baal Kriya can hear. And if possible, you can read, you can say it louder than you can hear without the Baal Kriya hearing, which is not realistic. Then you can do that, but at least you should read along to some degree with the Baal Kriya. Okay, now some want to say that the Zohar, when he said this halacha, that you should be silent, the Zohar was talking in his time. In his time, when the one that got the Aliyah leaned. So in the Zohar's came in, Adayin lo yakari mitar al yakari, rakol echash olu karab levadai. And therefore, when it says Shlo Yikra Ela Echad, what he means there in the Zohar, the only one person should be reading, it means the one that gets the Aliyah. The guy on the side should not be quiet, the audience should be silent. Mm-hmm. But Bizman Hazer, when the way we have Kriya Satara is not the way we had in the Zohar, where you have about Kriya, and the one that gets the Aliyah is making the Bracha, even the Zohar would admit that in the order that it should not be a Chash Bracha Levatala, the one that gets the Aliyah should read along quietly together with the Baal Kriya. That, now also another proof we want to bring is that not like the Rosh, is that we know for a fact that throughout the generations, Aliyahs were given to Ame Haratzim. In order to read along with the Baal Kriya, you have to at least know how to read along. Okay, you look at the Sefer Torah, you know, you see the letters, and you read along. So either you'll say it right, you won't say it right, you'll just copy what the Baal Kriya says. You'll have some basic knowledge of reading what it says in the Torah. What happens if a person, Rachman Litzlan, doesn't know the Aleph base, and he spends a whole week learning how to make the brachas? Baruch Hu, you know, he learns the brachas, and he's mamis and lois and nefesh, but he can't read more than the brachas. When you're going to read, you're going to point along, you're just going to follow with your eyes what you're reading, but he doesn't even know you, he can't even follow along. You're not going to give him an aliyah? No such thing. We know for a fact that they never ever held back throughout the generations for 2,000 years of giving people who were 100% ignorant from giving them an aliyah. Oh, but they have to be able to enunciate the words according to the Rosh Hashanah Torah. Obviously, you see, it's not so. You see, you don't have to. You see, it's enough just to make a bracha, and someone will read for you, and you'll listen, you'll watch, and that will be sufficient for us also. There's no hakpada bedafka that you have to read along. These are different opinions. Okay, so the bottom line over here is, I'll just read you how he paskins. The bottom line over here is, Sev Deva Kol Nishma, Shev Yosh, Shev Nifzak, Mishloch Noach, Kedas HaRosh. In the Mechaber, he paskins like the Rosh, Shev Ein Ha'ayla Kore Klal, Yesh V'zem Yishum, Brocha Levatala. Yesh Lachosh L'zeh. Bottom line is, you should attempt to read along, Rak Nochon, Sheyakpid L'Kreis, Belachash Me'oid. Ad Afilu L'Oznov Lo Yishma Koyloi, L'chatchila, you should read along silently where words do not come out of your mouth, which is the Beis Yosef's understanding in the Zohar. The kol shekein sheizosh lo yishma kol lachem, make sure you don't disturb other people. Amnam yesh mekoymois, there are places. Shenol kidas harav ha-kodesh mizitichov, v'kam marana, v'yesh lachem alma lismach, where they don't read along at all. They're completely silent when the Baal Kriya reads. Okay, now what about the tzibur? This we discussed yesterday or 2 days ago. The tzibur, should they read along with the Baal Kriya? So this all depends on if they're standing or sitting. We mentioned last time. Would you stand for Kriya Satora or do you sit for Kriya Satora? What he writes here, it appears when he writes over there, the Lechatila, it would be ideal. It would definitely be ideal to read for the people in the tzibur to read along quietly with the Baal Kriya, because that would improve their concentration. They'll be able to follow with the Baal Kriya. If you're not just going to sit with the Chumash, it's much easier to get spaced out. It would be ideal. However, if you are sitting when for Kriya Satora, that means that you're following the interpretation of the Pasuk that Chol Ha'am Oimdim means not literally standing, it means silence. So then, if it means silence, you should not, because it says in the Nechemiah, What?
We discussed this with
right. Malachi. It says in Nechemia, they took out a Sefer Torah, and they read, and all the people, when they were reading the Sefer Torah, were oimdim. What does that mean? If it means standing, in Echanam, you have to stand. But if it means, no, many of us, it does not mean standing, it means they were silent. Mm-hmm. They were physically sitting, and it means, I mean, they were silent. So if you find yourself in the Beis HaKnesses to be sitting, that means you interpret the pasuk v'chol ha'om amdim, means that they were silent. Mm-hmm. Then you should not be allowed. You should, then the proper thing is not to read along with the balcony. But if you are from the yeshiva world where you stand for kriya satira, you're not bound. V'chol ha'om amdim doesn't mean silent, because it says you interpret amdim means standing. You're not bound. Then maybe adarab will be a milah for you to read along quietly, that so that you can pay closer attention to what the balcony is saying. All right, we'll stop here. We'll do some of this maybe more next time. We'll see.